This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد beloved brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الله سبحانه وتعالى speaks to us in the Holy Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, the chapter on women, in the very first verse of that surah, Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا صدق الله العظيم. Today's lecture is important for all of us, although it deals specifically with the value and importance of women in society. But today particularly we'll speak about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values a woman. So we will extract our proofs from the Holy Quran, inshallah. The verse which I just quoted from Surah An-Nisa, which is the fourth surah of the Holy Quran, the very first verse, is of Surah An-Nisa, and of all the holy books, the Torah, the Injil, and all other books, the Quran is the only book that has dedicated a special chapter to the interests of women. And we say this proudly. Not only that, the Quran has also dedicated another chapter to the celebration of another woman. That is Surah Maryam, the 23rd surah. So Islam then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a message through this. We don't have Surah Al-Rijal in the Quran. We don't have a surah on just men in the Quran. And we will hear about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distinguishes and raises the status of women in the Quran. And I say raising of status because we live in the world where women are not given their due value. By Christians, by Muslims, by Jews, by everybody. And I think we as Muslims need to go back to our Quran to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about our sisters and our mothers and our grandmothers and our daughters, in order to get an understanding of the respect and value which we should have or attribute to our female partners in life. So let's go to the verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O people, ya ayyuhan nas, O people. Now, Allah addresses us in different ways in the Quran. The ayat which we revealed in Makkah, there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used only Ya Ayyuhan Nas, O people. The revelations that was revealed in Medina, there we hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now starts addressing the Muslims as Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu, O you people who believe. And if you read, every time Allah says Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu, an obligation is placed upon Muslims, only on Muslims. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam. O you people who believe, who have faith, Fasting has been prescribed for you, and so forth and so on. This is a Medina surah, yet Ya Allah also uses the word Ya Ayyuhan Nas. Although the community of Islam has already been formed, Medina, Allah still uses as an introduction, as a form of address, Allah uses the word people. Because there are verses that also encompasses the needs and the attention of those who are not Muslim. Because there were Christians in Medina, there were Jews in Medina, and the Prophet ﷺ was, of course, the leader of everybody. So Allah SWT addresses everybody, Ya O people. Ya ayyuhan nas, ittaqullah. Have taqwa of Allah. What does that mean? It means keep your duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, O people, keep your duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be conscious of your duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can also mean revere Allah. It can also mean fear Allah. Revere means to always enhance the status and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always say subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا. Who created you مِن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا. From a single being. From a single being. وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. Some people don't use the word being for nafs. They use the word essence. So some people will translate the verse as, and who created you from a single essence. Instead of the word being, they would use essence. That both men and women were created from a single essence. Subhanallah. If we should use the word essence, what does essence mean? Essence means that thing which defines the character throughout the life of that thing. For example, I want to take a very simple example of a cake with vanilla essence in it. If you put vanilla essence in a cake, that cake will taste like vanilla essence. It will have that vanilla taste from the beginning to the end. Similarly, men and women were created from a certain kind of essence that brings similarity between them. But of course, we know there are major difference between men and women. وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُوا كَالْأُنْثَى. Allah says, men are not like women. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا. Who created you from a single essence, or from one essence. وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. And Allah says, and I created from that same essence, your mate, your partner. وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And Allah says, from the two of you, I created many men and many, many, many women. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Again, Allah uses the word taqwa. Allah says, and reverence your guardian Lord and be dutiful to your guardian Lord. Be observant of the duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alladhi tasa'aluna bihi wal arham. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be dutiful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is via Allah that you seek your rights from each other. How many women haven't said, this is my right, Allah has given me this right, you must nafaqa me, or you must give me a home, and you must, when I'm in idda, you must support me for the idda period. This is what the Sharia says. We demand our rights from each other. So we should be dutiful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Allah says, and revere Allah and revere the wombs that bore you. Revere the womb, the rahim, And you can hear the word Rahim sounds like Rahmah, sounds like Rahman. Rahim and Rahman and Rahim comes from the same root. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has connected Rahim with mercy. This is a sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is merciful. Allah is gracious. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have given the name of the womb, I have attached it to my own name. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He has attached His name to the womb. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember, I watch over you continuously. I'm your guard. I'm your protector. So here we see central in this verse, Allah talks about Himself and the reverence to Him. And in the middle of the verse, He draws our attention to the arham. He draws our attention to the womb. In other words, who has a womb? Only a woman has a womb. Our mothers, our sisters, our wives. We come from a womb. Everybody comes from a womb. And just as Allah says, revere him, Allah says, in the same way that you revere me, revere the womb. In the same way that you revere me, revere your parents. And revere your mother most. Man ahaqqu bi husni sahabati. A man came one day to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi salatu wasallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, who must I make my friend and my companion? Who deserves my companionship? Subhanallah. Children, if you have mothers, listen to this. The man came and said, you know, like we say, you know, children come to us and say, Daddy, who must I make my friend? Is this a good friend for me? Is that a good friend for me? Is that a good... So here the man came and said, Ya Rasulullah, who? He didn't say who I should befriend. He said, who should I make? Who deserves my companionship? Who deserves it? And the Prophet said three times, your mother, your mother, your mother. And the fourth time he said, your father. Which means that your mother first and then your father and then everybody else. Your companion should be your mother, your mother, your mother, then your father, then the world outside. Not the other way around. Subhanallah. We have all the time for everybody outside, but we have very little time for the friend that the Prophet ﷺ said deserves. He didn't say you must give it. He said they are deserving of your companionship. So already we see in Surah An-Nisa how Allah subhanAllah raises the cosmic value of the woman. And how Allah has attached His name to the womb of a woman. And if you look at the womb, and I want to say to you that all of us are created in our wombs, in the wombs of our mothers. Who creates us in the wombs of our mothers? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, verse number 6. This is the surah before Surah An-Nisa, the third surah. Surah An-Nisa is the fourth surah. Allah says in verse 6 of Surah Ali Imran, هو الذي يصوركم في الأرحام. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He is the one who shapes you and molds you in the wombs of your mothers. كيف يشاء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هو الذي هو and الذي emphasizes that it is Allah. يصوركم. صور means to mold. And this word صور appears in the Quran about 6 times. It also appears in Surah Al-Hashr, which is the 59th surah. Allah SWT says, وَاللَّهُ الْخَالِقُ الْبَارِئُ الْمُصَوِّرِ, that Allah SWT is the one, the creator, and Allah is the one who molds and forms, shapes it into a man, into a male, into a female, into whatever Allah SWT wants to put in that womb. In other words, the womb is the workshop of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the workshop of Allah. هو الذي يصوركم في الأرحام كيف يشاء. He is the one who shapes you. Subhanallah. And man cannot interfere there. Man cannot. Everything is done by Allah himself. And when we talk about wombs here, we're not only talking about the wombs of human beings. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wombs fil arham. Yusawwirukum fil arham. All the wombs of all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah molds whatever is in that womb. Subhanallah. And who carries that womb? The human carries that womb. And so when we look at the Quran, so we can already feel, we can already see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen the woman. Like you know, Allah has chosen her to give birth to prophets, to scholars, to doctors, to all kinds of people, with all kinds of qualifications, all kinds of professions. A woman does all that. The womb of a woman does all that. How much respect should we have, not have for her? They can give birth to prophets, but in many masajid, they're not welcome. No place for a woman. We don't allow women in the masjid. حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Subhanallah. Look how far away we are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what He elevates. A woman can give birth to a Nabi, but not allowed to go into a masjid. And in some masajid where they allow women, the place where the women are is always dusty, always unclean. The bathrooms provided for them is not as it's supposed to be. Of course, there are many masajid where mashallah provisions are made for them. But just think about it. I'm an imam. My mother gave birth to me, but she can't come to the masjid. SubhanAllah. So if we understand, although the Prophet allowed his women to come into the masjid, Aisha and them even made atikaf in the masjid in the month of Ramadan. Provision was made. We always think, oh, women in the masjid sleeping, oh, no. SubhanAllah. So for you to decide that, when the Prophet allowed it, you want to disallow it, you want to put your conditions. No. Allah has elevated the womb. That's why Allah says in the Quran, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ أَحْسَانًا. I spoke on Friday on Ihsan. I spoke on إِنَّ اللَّهِ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. I said, Allah loves the muhsinun, the do-gooders, those who do more than is required of them, of the faraid, of the obligations which Allah has placed upon them. Allah says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ أَحْسَانًا. When it comes to your parents, practice ihsan. What means ihsan? Ihsan means be charitable to your, not money. No, be charitable to your parents. Be kind to them. Be good to them. Hug them. Kiss them. Smile when you look into their faces. When they speak, listen to them. Even if you disagree with them, listen to them. Give them a good answer. Then you will become of the muhsinun. And Allah says He loves the muhsinun. Allah doesn't say the muhsinun are good people. Allah says, Inna Allah yuhib. Verily Allah loves those who make ihsan. To their parents. So, I want to just briefly go to Surah Maryam, which, as I said, is the 23rd Surah. No, that's Surah Mu'minun. Let me go to Surah Maryam. Anyway, what I wanted to say was, the point that I wanted to make was, in Surah Maryam, it is the only place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a grandmother and a mother of a prophet. The prophet's grandmother is not referred to in the Quran, nor is the prophet's grandmother referred to in the Quran, despite the fact that he was most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Isa, Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, his mother and his grandmother is mentioned in the Quran. His grandmother was the wife of Imran, and she became pregnant. And she dedicated, you can read in Surah Maryam, she dedicated, what was it? She said, I dedicate what is in my womb, Ya Allah, for your service. Subhanallah. Because she wanted him to serve in the temple. And only men can serve in the temple. So her request was, Ya Allah, I want, she did not ask for male or female. She said, he must be in your service. And the understanding was that he must become, because he was a Jew, the temple, he should serve the temple. And we have a whole surah called Ali Imran. And Isa was the grandson of Imran. So when his grandmother gave birth, it was a girl. She said, Ya Allah, it's a girl. Untha. Nibadatu untha. I gave birth to a girl. But she was surprised. I asked, obviously, you know, Allah understood that she asked for a boy, but she gave birth to a girl. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to her, and who was the girl? Maryam. And what did Allah say to her? Walaysa dhakaruka al-untha. She said, O wife of Imran, Allah said, O wife of Imran, laysa dhakaru, the male is not like the female. Don't worry. Male is not like the female. A palace is not like a house. In other words, if you listen to the dialectic of the conversation, the words being used, Allah is saying the man, not like a woman. Woman has got immense cosmic value. Woman has got womb attached to my name. Her womb is my workshop. There I produce what I want. وَالَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ Allah says, you can ask, but I will decide what is good. She gave birth to Maryam. Subhanallah. And of course, Maryam gave birth to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the greatest miracle ever. Subhanallah. How Allah has raised, subhanAllah, the status of woman. Right from the word go. So, I read an article the other day of a lady who had belonged to one of the fundamentalist churches in America. And she describes in this article how she grew up in this fundamentalist church. They were out in the mountains and very close community and very strict rules and very strict laws. And they could only believe what was taught to them, and they couldn't leave the place there. They had to grow up there and marry there and have children there and everything. But she managed to escape from there, she says. She writes a history. And at the end of it, she says in this article, she says, what she could not understand was, she says, how is it possible for God to have shaped intentionally in the womb of Mary, Jesus, the way he wanted to shape Jesus? This was not a man that was going to be born from a man and a woman. This was a man who was going to be born from a woman only. Allah would breathe of his spirit into a womb. She says, how is it possible for God to have done this consciously, to consciously have brought Jesus into this world without a father, and then to consciously relegate him to the worst kind of death ever for a human being? She says, suppose we are told it is astaghfirullah, his beloved son, most beloved son, but yet he was destined to die being spiked to a cross. Said, how is that possible? What kind of divine love is that? And I say, and I was looking at shock. She says, I couldn't believe what kind of a God we had. And if it is God that shaped, she says, if it is God that shaped Jesus in the womb of his mother, that shaped Isa in the womb of his mother, then how can what God shaped be God himself? Is it possible? Doesn't make any sense. So yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides to the truth whom he guides to the truth. But it means that we must apply our mind to the truth. Isa ibn Maryam. So that again gives us another indication of the importance of women. Grandmothers are mentioned, mothers are mentioned, but the grandmother's name is not mentioned. Because when the name is not mentioned, it means that she represents grandmotherhood. But Maryam is mentioned, the mother, because Maryam is a singular woman of singular status. A woman with the highest status in the Quran. It is mentioned in the Quran. Subhanallah. So, before we move away from Maryam and Isa, we hear what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Isa and Maryam. Allah says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made Isa and his mother an ayah. I made Isa and his mother an ayah. Now, if anybody mentions the word ayah to you, the first thing that will come to mind is an ayah of the Quran, isn't it? But ayah, neither is Maryam nor Isa an ayah of the Quran. So ayah doesn't only mean an ayah of the Quran. Yeah, ayah means a sign. Allah says, I have created Isa and his mother Maryam as a sign. What is a sign? A sign is something which always points to something much, much greater than the sign itself. So you may drive on the N2 coming from the airport and you'll see Cape Town. Written on a board, Cape Town. But that's the sign of Cape. That's not Cape Town. Cape Town will still come. That's only the sign. SubhanAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I've created them as a sign. And we know the greatness of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and the greatness of his mother Maryam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take him to himself. That he will come back in the later years. SubhanAllah. That he will do this and he will do that. SubhanAllah. So that is an ayah. And some of the mufassirun of the Quran, the interpreters of the Quran, those who interpret the Quran, mufassirun, they say ayatul kawn tufassiru ayat al-Quran. That the signs in the heavens and in the earth around us interprets the Quran, the ayat of the Quran. The signs in the universe interprets the ayat or the signs of the Quran. So if you want to understand the Quran, you must understand the world that you live in and you'll understand the Quran. If you study the plants and the animals and the human beings, you'll understand the Quran. And if you understand the Quran, you will understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there was a man, Ja'far ibn Sadiq. He was a great grandson of the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He's a great scholar. Of course, he was of the Ahlul Bayt, people of the house of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was a son of Hassan, either son of Hassan or a grandson of Hassan. And whenever he talks, used to speak about the Quran, he used to say, سَمِعَتُ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ. Used to say, I heard Allah say. He never said Allah says. He says, I heard Allah say. How? When I say to you, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, you are hearing Allah saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Because Allah has written that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah says Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So whenever he goes to Quran, he says, سَمِعَتُ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ. I heard Allah say. Whether he heard it from a person who's reading it, or whether he's hearing it by himself reading it, that is the attachment to the Quran. Because when you hear that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا قَرَأَتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَإِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Allah says, فَإِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنُ, when the Quran is being read, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ, then listen to it. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Allah says, when the Quran is being read, listen to it so that you may be blessed. If you and I speak in a conversation and 10 other people speak together with us, don't we get upset? So you're like, you had a chance to speak, let me also speak. People want to be heard when they speak. So one day I was sitting at the janaza and everybody was reading the Quran. I said, please stop. I said, you can't do this. It's against the etiquette of the Quran. Allah says, when the Quran is being read, others must listen. Allah doesn't say you can all read together. No. Why? Because Allah is speaking. Allah is speaking to you. The Quran is the word of Allah, the kalam of Allah. The speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I said, read one by one and let the others listen. Fastami'u is a word of command. Allah says, listen. Allah says, please listen when the Quran. No, Allah says, when the Quran is being read, listen. And you will benefit. What is your benefit? You will be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's difficult to say these things. When I said that in this group, people were angry at me. People walked out of the room. The janazah was lying there. People walked out. They said, why can't we read? Have you ever been to janazah where everybody reads loud? It's like a beehive. Chaos. Nobody knows what. It's just blah, 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 blah. Everybody wants to read his own surah, and everybody wants to read as loud as he wants to read. And everybody wants to compare his tajweed to the other person's tajweed. Why? Why is there chaos? Because we're not following the khuluq of Allah and the command of Allah. We want to do what we want to do. But I don't shirk my responsibility and duty. I will speak, I will say, this is what Allah wants. People get angry if you say this is what Allah wants. I know. So when I speak about the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is this man talking about now again? Anyway, let's carry on. I hope I'll be able to finish whatever I have to say today, but if not, then inshallah, Allah give us other time to do it. So, that is something about the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I now want to come to the central point, the point that I want to make today. And I've given the topic of the lecture, what does the Quran say about the cosmic value of a human? Cosmic, the word cosmic means compared to the universe, subhanAllah. Allah is khalaqa samawat wa ard, waladhi khalaqa samawat wa ard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the heavens and the earth. What is the connection between the heavens and the earth and a human? Is there a connection? Let's see what the Quran says. But let's put it into a perspective. You know, the Quran is something where you must have perspective. You can't take one ayah out and say something about it. You need to look at the ayah before that, the ayah after that. You need to apply your mind. You have to sit for hours, hours, years and years. And eventually it will come to you. SubhanAllah. So today, inshallah, we will look at three surahs of the Quran. Surah 29, Surah 30, and Surah 31. Surah 29 and Surah 30 and 31 form a, not a triangle, they form a trilogy. Like a packet with three things inside of it. These surahs are Surah Al-Ankabut, which is the 29th surah, Surah Ar-Rum, which is the 30th surah, and Surah Al-Luqman, which is the 31st surah. They form a trilogy or a group, their group. Why did I make them a group? Because all three of them begin with Alif Lam Mim. Alif Lam Mim. First Surah Ankabut. Surah Ankabut, of course, the word Ankabut means a spider's web. Spider's web. And the surah was named Ankabut because inside the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna ahwana al-bayti labaytu Ankabut. Allah says, and verily the flimsiest of houses is the house of a spider. And what Allah refers to is the things of this dunya, material things. And Allah refers, gives an example of Fir'aun and Haman, and says they realize after a while, they want to play God and they wanted to own the world and have everything of the world. But Allah showed them that the things of this world is like a spider's house. It has value, but limited value and little value. And I look at the problems that we have today in the world with coronavirus and many other issues, economic problems, many, many issues that we have, problems of racism, problems of oppression, problems of exploitation, problems of abuse. So many issues. And I think every day, what is the solution to these issues? And what is some of the lessons that we can learn from Corona, for example? And this is maybe the first lesson. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to reduce the value that we think material things have. Especially money. People who are billionaires today are maybe bankrupt because of Corona. People who had a house maybe will lose their house because of Corona. They will lose their cars because of Corona. As long as they don't lose the Iman, alhamdulillah. It is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe this is one of the ways Allah wants, this is one of the lessons of the virus. And of maybe other things as well. That what? What do we value the most nowadays? We don't even want to go to the shop to spend our money because we're scared we're going to get Corona. We can't sit in a restaurant to eat to spend our money. So what's our money worth now? I mean, you can't enjoy the money. You see, you have all the money, but you can't go and sit in the restaurant. You can't go to this supermarket with your children and your wife and go shopping. No. To stay at home. All the money's in the bank. And whatever the bank took, the bank tax, and whatever losses you had with your investments, that's all gone. We don't know how long it's going to keep. That is the house. That is the Ankabut, spider's house. Then Surah Ar-Rum. But I want to skip Surah to Rum and I will do this. We'll go to the third one, Surah Luqman. So what is the lesson of Surah Luqman? Surah Luqman, as you know, was the wise prophet. And what did Surah Luqman say to his son? The first lesson Surah Luqman gave to his son was, I hope we can find it. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Surah Luqman said to his son, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِإِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ. Luqman said to his son, giving him advice, يَا بُنَيَّ, oh my son, لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Do not give a partner to Allah. Do not commit shirk. Because shirk is the biggest, most unforgivable crime in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَى. Allah says, Allah will not forgive you for shirk. Not forgive. There's no forgiveness. Allah says, I will not forgive you if you commit shirk. But I will forgive every other sin that you may commit. Whether you steal, whatever you do. If you come to me and you ask for forgiveness, I will forgive you. But if you make shirk, no forgiveness. وَوَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانِ بِوَالِدَيْ أَحْسَانًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we have given you the instruction to be. To be kind to your parents. حملت أمه كره وهن على وهن. Your mother bore you pain upon pain. Again the womb. وفصاله في عامين. So, what is the most important thing then to learn as a Muslim? What is shirk? I mean, I can't do it now, but it's going to be one of my lectures. Very important lecture. We have to know what it is. If it's an unforgivable sin, if Allah forgives all the great, you can murder, Allah will forgive it. If you make tawbah sincerely. Then kill 1,000 people, Allah will forgive you. But if you make shirk, no forgiveness. So, Luqman then gives us this lesson. Is this perhaps the solution to our problems? Is it perhaps that we have not been vigilant about not committing shirk in our lives? Do we know what it is? Do we brush it off? And we say from the radios, from the pulpit, Allah says shirk, everything is shirk and everything is bid'ah. Subhanallah. These are ulama who say this. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will not forgive shirk, I will forgive all your sins. The alim says, stands on the minbar and he says, Allah says, Allah says shirk and Allah says bid'ah. So who are they referring to? They're referring to Allah. Because who taught us about shirk. Allah, Allah says, I'm one. They say, the Prophet ﷺ said, bid'ah is in the Jahannam. They say, ah, man. I ask Allah to forgive them because obviously they've said it out of ignorance. But it's important as an alim that you know and understand the fundamentals and essentials of your deen that you have to teach people so that they can enter Jannah. I want to go to Jannah, I must want all of you to go to Jannah. So that is another solution. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bring us back to Him, to the essence, to the root, to our maker, our creator. Maybe that's why He's keeping us at home, so we can think about Him and read about Him and research about Him and our connection with Him and the connection with Him through the wombs of our parents. And our parents are also alone at home, maybe. And they're at home the whole day. And they think, where's my nobody? My children doesn't even come and stand at the front door and say, hello, daddy. Hello, mommy. Salaamu alaikum. Mommy, salaamu alaikum. Maybe if we get closer to our parents, maybe Allah will remove the bala of this corona. In the middle surah. Surah to Rum. Surah to Rum is the 30th surah. The 30th surah of the Quran. It's in the middle of Ankabut and Surah Luqman. And all three deal with very, very important matters. You have to read these three surahs. Inshallah. Make niyyah that you're going to read these three surahs. I want to refer you to verses in the verse number 19. Now there are six verses that begin with the same words in the surah. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ And of the signs of Allah. Again, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ There are six of them. Five of them is found in one place. From 19 to, I think it's 25 or 24. And then the sixth one is found in the same surah, verse 45. Let's look at two of them. I want to bring something to your notice. This surah deals with the Roman Empire. This surah deals with Ghulibat al-Rum, the defeat of the Roman Empire by the Persians. A very important historical fact that brought Islam closer to realization. That brought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prophesied that yes, the Romans will conquer the Persians, but the Persians will again conquer the Romans, and then the Muslims will conquer both of them. And then Islam will take center stage. So is it that the lesson for us in this age is for Muslims to become victorious, to reestablish the Khilafah, to reestablish the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let's see what Allah says. And now this connects with our theme of the cosmic value of women. Verse 19, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Listen carefully. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ And of the signs, and of His signs. And what did He say? What is the sign? I said the sign is something which points to something which is greater, much greater than the sign itself. So Allah says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ And of His signs, pointing to something. أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ That He created you from dust. ثم إذا أنتم بشر تنتشرون Then you became nations and you spread over the world. What is the first thing Allah says? وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ What's the creation of man? Allah says, of the signs is the creation of man. Because that's where it started. Creation of man. Then Allah says again, the second one. What is the second one? So the first one is the creation of all of humanity. And the second ayah, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا So in the middle of these three surahs, which forms a group, all starting with Alif Lam Mim, in the middle surah, in the middle of that surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and of my signs is I created you all. Then Allah says, wa min ayati, and of his signs, an khalaqa lakum min anfusikum azwajan, and of his signs is that I created from you your partners. So Allah says, I created all of mankind. And then I created your wives and your daughters and your mothers. But here Allah specifically talks about azwaj. Here Allah talks about wives. So here Allah doesn't only raise the status of women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us your wife is an ayah. That your wife is an ayah. What is an ayah? It's a sign. Because she points to greater things. She gives you 5 children, 3 children, 2 children. Some women have 15 children, 10 children. Subhanallah. So see, just a sign. And those children become alims, they become this, they go into the world, they create wealth. Subhanallah. So Allah says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِيَ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ, from your essence, from the same essence. As well, and I created your wives. Subhanallah. So when you look at your wife again, look at her with a different eye. Look down to the middle, look at her womb and say to yourself, now you say to myself, every day I say to my wife, you know, there's one thing I can't pay you for, is this, you know, the 5 children that you gave, it came through you. No matter what you may do, or how you may shout at me, whatever, for that I will appreciate you my whole life. The womb. And revere the womb that bore you. Because if you don't revere your wife's womb, how are you going to revere your mother's womb? So, that is the cosmic value of a woman. And you go on. Let me just do the third one, just quickly. And then Allah says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and of my signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth. So where does Allah place your wife? Allah first says, I created, as my first sign is, I created all of humanity, then I created your wife. Your azwaj. Litaskunu ilayha. We're going to do the rest of the verse, you know the meaning. And the third one is, Allah says, and of my signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth. So who's in the middle of those three ayat? Creation of the wife. Subhanallah. That is the cosmic value, the universal value of a wife. And a wife is not only a wife to you, she's a mother of your children also. And so I want to end off by telling you a story. It's a story that's worth remembering. It's a story of a part of the life of Sayyid Nursi. I don't know if you've heard of a man called Sayyid Nursi. He's a Turkish scholar. He's considered to be a mujaddid, meaning a person who revived the deen. His name was Nursi, but people gave his name as Badi'u Zaman, the wonder of the age. Subhanallah, imagine. He was the one. If you haven't heard of him, you should do something to know about him. He wrote a tafsir, something about Nur. So Sayyid Nursi, as a child, his father placed him at a madrasa to do hifz. That was the normal way that these people in Turkey at that time. He only died in 1960, so in the early part of this century. And the teacher noticed that this child was an exceptional child. To memorize the Quran. When he reads it, he memorizes it. And everything that the Ustaz teaches, he memorizes fiqh, hadith, but particularly the Quran. And the teacher was so impressed as alim, and he decided one holiday he was going to visit the family of this child, Nursi. And he went to the outskirts of the city. in the village. And eventually he came. Nursi was a pious family, everybody knew them. And he went and he knocked on the door. The mother opened the door and he was there and he was very surprised to see his teacher, subhanAllah. And the mother said, "What brings you here, Ustaz, you know?" So he says, "You know, I'm your child, subhanAllah. You know, it really impresses me by his memory and the way he learns and his character and everything about him. And I wanted to meet his parents." And he said, "Tell me something about this child. How did you rear this child? I want to know what kind of family he's grown up in." And he says, "What does your husband do? What does your father do?" And she says, "Well, he's got some cows that he takes out in the morning. He's still busy with the cows. He takes them out for feeding." And then she said, "It's by time that he comes home now at this time." So he says, "Inshallah, okay, I'll wait for him." So he says, "And tell me about Nursi." She says, "You know, I am in the habit that when he was born, every time I put him to the breast, I used to take wudu and make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must bless him and guide him. So I didn't just put him, I used to take wudu. If I didn't have wudu, I would take wudu and I would put him to my breast." And that is how he grew up. The man said, "Subhanallah, that must be one of the reasons that Allah has blessed him so much." And then the man looked through the window and he saw this man coming with his cows. But they were cloth tied around the heads of the cows with their mouths closed. And they were coming through a green field. And he came with the cows and Ustaz introduced himself. And he said to the father of Nursi, he said, "Why do you tie the heads of the cows and close their mouths?" He says, "Because you see, this field doesn't belong to me. This man has allowed me to walk through his field, and I have decided that that is what he gave me, not more than that. I could just take my cows. If my cows would eat just a blade of grass from that man's field, subhanAllah, it'll be haram for me. It will be haram for me to feed my family from that. SubhanAllah." And so that was, he says, "That is my philosophy of life. That's how I lived my life. Everything I ate was halal, and everything I fed my children was from halal. SubhanAllah." So here also we learn a lesson from good mothers. What did Sayyidina Maryam's mother say when she was fi batnihi, when she had Isa in her womb? She said, "Oh Allah, I dedicate him to you." So mothers, when you pray, if you're pregnant, make niyyah now that when he's going to be born or she's going to be born, and whoever child is going to be born after this, you're going to say, when the child is born, you look at the child and say, "Ya Allah, I dedicate this child to you." SubhanAllah. That's all you have to say. Say it in English and Afrikaans, but say it. So the child may become a good alim, may become a good person, he will become, look at the child. Just because of what the parents do, the barakah falls on the child. So don't think that whatever you do, or children mustn't think the barakah only comes from themselves. No. Barakah comes through the parents. So just as we revere the womb, we must revere the woman that has the womb. The two women that has the womb. It's your mother that gave birth to you and your wife that gave birth to your children. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give that we learn inspirational lessons, inshallah, from this. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give that we implement and understand and wonder at the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beauty of this deen that Allah has given us, Islam. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.